this series, I said in the first message that the imminent return of the Lord, what we call the blessed hope, is one of the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God. It's a core doctrine of our fellowship. And since the moment Jesus ascended to heaven, as recorded in the first chapter of the book of Acts, that belief that the Lord would return has moved and motivated the church. And those weeks ago, I quoted from Dr. George Wood on that first Sunday that there are at least five ways the imminent return of the Lord impacts the church. So we said the first week it provides a powerful incentive for righteous living in our daily life. The second week we said it motivates us to risk greatly for the King and His kingdom. Last week we said it steadies our resolve to endure to the end. This morning we're looking at the fourth way that the coming of the Lord impacts the church. And this fourth way is this: the imminent return of the Lord fills us with the anticipation of reward. It fills us with the anticipation of reward. Now, as I wrote that, I thought, well, that sounds a bit mercenary, doesn't it, somehow or another? That it implies that we're just serving the Lord for what we can get out of it somehow or another. We're just going to live for Him because we're going to get that final reward. And just to be honest about it all, in some sense, all of us turn to the Lord for what we can get out of it. I mean, think about it for just a minute. I want my sins forgiven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to live in bondage to sin. I don't want to live in shame and condemnation. I want to be free, and I want to be clean, and I want to be whole. So it's true. Call me mercenary, but I come to Jesus for what I can get. I can get a brand new life. I can get my sins forgiven. I can get the promise of hope and heaven and eternal life. So, yeah, that's just part of it. But after knowing Him and having loved Him and served Him for more than 60 years, I can tell you I'm not just living for Him for what I can get. I'm living for Him because of what I've found. I've found life in Him. I've found one that's closer than a brother. I've found hope. I've found that He is the way and the truth and the life. But bear in mind, when we think about reward, Jesus is the one who brought it up to begin with, all right? He's the one who talked about the subject of reward. For instance, in Matthew 5, He said, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." So if there is a reward, like Jesus says, and we know then that there is, and as the New Testament writers declare, then the reality is there's nothing wrong in anticipating that reward or desiring that reward, because He's the one who told us that we could expect that to happen. So as we experience the things Jesus mentioned, persecution and attacks and being falsely accused and all those things, as we face trials and troubles, in order to maintain our hope and in order to endure to the end, as we talked about last Sunday, in order that we wouldn't lose hope or give up or give in, sometimes it helps to remember the promise of reward, that there is something on the other side of this. There's reason to press on and not give up. The reward is ahead, but understand, the reward comes at the end of the journey. We live in a culture that's focused on instant gratification. We expect an immediate response, an immediate reward for everything we do. If we have to wait for more than a few seconds for anything, we act like the world is crashing to an end, right? So people say it to you, if you're giving your credit card for something, and the person says, "Well, the internet is really slow today." You're accessing information from I don't know where, from a satellite circling the earth somewhere or another, and when it takes 6 seconds longer for Alexa to respond or for your smartphone to give you the answer to what's the distance between here and Topeka or whatever, you're ready to throw I can't believe it's so slow, and you're ready to throw it away. We want a reward, and we want it right now. If we sow seed, we expect an instant harvest. We want immediate return on our investment. The idea of delayed gratification is foreign to us for the most part. So the idea of investing and working and laboring for the future, working so you're going to have something in the years to come, thinking in terms of the long game, forget about it, all right? That's just not in our thinking. I want my reward, and I want it right now, and I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'll just, right? Tomorrow has enough problems tomorrow. So people look for instant reward and gratification in everything in our life and culture, so we look for it in the kingdom of God as well. I serve the Lord and I pay my tithes so I can get a better return on my investments. Well, that may be, but here's the thing. If you're just focusing on material things, if you're just focusing on money or what you're going to get, you may be disappointed. Yes, Jesus said, given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give to you. But the rewards aren't necessarily financial, and they aren't necessarily all given or received in this life. I can testify to you that the Lord has blessed me with material blessings in this life. And most of you, I think, can say the same thing. And I've got a house, and I've got a car, and I've got clothes to wear, but it's not all about this life. And Jesus spoke about laying up for yourself treasure in heaven, right? Where thieves can't break in and steal, not laying up for yourself treasures here on this earth where we can lose it all in a hurry. Our rewards are not just physical or material things. Paul spoke of the athletes that trained and gave it all for to win a prize in the Roman games. He said they go into strict training to compete, and they sacrifice and give everything to win a corruptible crown, he called it. A crown that is going to fade and fail in a matter of a few days. But we train and sacrifice and run the race of obedience to Christ, he says, in order to win a crown that will never fail or fade. It will last forever. It's an eternal reward. So it's not just about what we can get here in this life. I used to see years ago, and I used to comment about it sometimes, but that there was a bumper sticker that said, the one with the most toys at the end wins. I don't know if you remember that, but I haven't seen one in years. Actually, and I always said it, actually the one with the most toys and the one without any toys at the end, they're just both going to be dead and they won't take anything with them when they die, right? Each of them will stand before God and give an account, not for what they had, but for what they did, or perhaps in some sense for what they did with what they had. But the reward is to come. So what are you working for? And who are you doing this for? I used to have a little thing sitting on my desk somewhere that said, who are you doing this for? Ask yourself, why am I doing this? And when it comes to the things of God and service in the kingdom of God and service to the church and others, if you're doing it for anyone other than Jesus, then, you know, if you're doing it for anything other than a desire to please and serve the Lord, while your efforts are helpful and appropriate, the danger is that you may eventually get hurt or burned out or discouraged or disillusioned. So it leaves you at this point where you're just saying, I served the Lord all these years and I don't have anything to show for it. You know, serve the Lord and here I am broke and I got no retirement, I got nothing or whatever. Well, that's because what you have to show for it is in heaven and not in a bank account. I served the Lord, never got so much as a thank you from the pastor or the church members. Well, you were anticipating the wrong reward. You know, if you got that, well, that's a good thing. But remember, Jesus hasn't handed out the rewards yet. What were you doing it for? If it was to get recognition now, well, then good for you or whatever. But if you're doing it for Jesus, the reward comes later. Who are you doing this for? The story was told of an elderly missionary couple that was returning to America after years of service in Africa. This was 100 years ago. They had arrived home on a ship that was also carrying President Teddy Roosevelt. He'd been to Africa. I think he went a couple of times on a big game safari, big game hunting. And as they disembarked, all of them coming off the ship, a band was playing. There was a parade for the president, all these dignitaries there to welcome the president, but there was no one there to welcome the missionaries. No acknowledgement for their years of sacrifice and service. And after arriving at their modest hotel room somewhere, the old man, kind of discouraged, said to his wife, "It's not fair. And years of sacrifice, and we left everything and our health and everything else in Africa, and we come home and there's no one there to meet us, no one here to welcome us home." And his wife said, "That's because we aren't home yet. We aren't home yet." And you may feel like it's all been for nothing. No one appreciated, no one even noticed your sacrifice or your contribution. But let me just tell you, that's because we aren't home yet. The books haven't been opened yet. The rewards haven't been handed out yet. And besides, you weren't doing it for the recognition or the applause of men. You were doing it for Jesus and for the King and the kingdom. And the scripture even warns us, Jesus warns us about the danger of seeking the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 6 that if you're doing what he called acts of righteousness before men, if you're doing your acts of righteousness in order to be seen by them, Jesus said, then you already have your reward and there won't be a reward from your Father in heaven. You get your reward, that's the pat on the back. But if you do it, he says, so do it in secret, you know, or let your good deeds be shown so that men will glorify God in heaven. But the point is that God is honored and glorified, not that somebody's giving you credit for all this. What's our reward going to be, men's approval or the approval of the Lord? So just don't get confused about the motives and about the rewards. Remember why we're doing this, that it's for the Lord and for his kingdom. We're to do everything as unto the Lord, right? And you may get nothing but persecution and trouble for your efforts in serving Jesus. But keep going because you're not home yet. And Jesus said that the reward was great that was awaiting. Jesus said in this world we'd have trouble. Instead of reward, or to put it another way, our reward here may be trouble. It may be hatred and disdain. Our motives may be questioned and misunderstood. We may be denied jobs or promotions on the job because we live for Jesus, and we start to think, man, I've been faithful and I've gone to church and I've tried to live a righteous life and I've tried to do what was right. Where's my reward for all this? Well, in the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he's done. Jesus is coming, and his reward is with him. Your reward hasn't been forgotten. Jesus hasn't lost sight of your actions or your sacrifice or the long hours or anything else. Don't be discouraged, but his reward is with him. He's coming, and then the rewards come. Don't be discouraged if the reward is not in this lifetime. So let me just make sure you understand. Let me point it out again. We're not serving Jesus just for what we can get in this lifetime. And the excesses of the so-called prosperity gospel kind of confuse things for some people. I'm going to serve Jesus and give to my church and pay my tithes because Jesus said, if you sacrifice anything, if you give up this and this and this in this life, well, then you'll receive 100-fold or 60-fold or 20-fold, and so we're wanting that 100-fold blessing, or I'm wanting a 60-fold blessing, and so I'm going to pay my tithes so I can get money and wealth and possession and fame and houses and cars and jet airplanes and you name it. Well, you know what my opinion is? That's not reward, that's stuff, right? That's stuff. And stuff can be lost, stolen, burned up, blown away in a tornado, gone in a moment. And the point is, why would God reward us with stuff that's passing away? Why would the reward be stuff that's useless in eternity? He's going to bless us with stuff that can be, stuff is an all-encompassing word, all right? He'll bless us with stuff that can be useful now for the cause of Christ, for his kingdom, to advance the gospel, to win the lost. He'll bless us with resources. The Apostle Paul said he's going to bless you so you'll have bread for food and seed for sowing, right? And so we're going to give, and it is going to be given to us. There are blessings that come, but the reward that he promises, the reward that he's bringing with him, is greater and richer and beyond anything we could be blessed with in this life, right? So we just kind of get a real narrow focus of what the blessing or what the reward is going to be when it's beyond all that because it's eternal. So what is the reward he's bringing? And the truth is we're kind of trapped. We only can think in terms of physical things because that's the reality that we know in this life. So we think of rewards kind of like a treasure. I mean, think about it, and God bless Ira Stanfill, a wonderful man and a wonderful songwriter, and he wrote that song about mansion over the hilltop, and we kind of got that idea. King James said, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and we got the idea that we're all going to live in a 10,000, you know, we're living in Garth Brooks' house, transported to heaven somewhere or another. I don't know, does he still have a house out there that's 13,000 square feet or something? Anyway. So we kind of get this idea that it's this stuff. We think of it like treasure, wealth and houses and clothes and food and material blessings. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have this big house. There's going to be a lake out in front, and I'm just going to be boating around fishing all day, and we get this weird idea. I need to preach about heaven sometime. But anyway, But when we talk about the reward of heaven, we're talking about a new existence in a heavenly kingdom where, remember, he says the old order of things has passed away and God has made all things new. So the stuff that we picture as reward, it was of value here. It may have seemed like reward here, but it's no value there. What good is wealth there when Jesus provides everything, when the streets are paved with gold? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be wealthy. Are you serious? We're walking on gold. The economy of heaven is entirely different. What heaven values is something entirely different. We don't have the vocabulary or the knowledge to really say what the reward will be because we're speaking of an existence beyond what we can imagine or comprehend. So the Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Well, does that mean he's told us exactly what it's going to be? No, we don't have the words, we can't conjure up the image, but in our spirit, the Holy Spirit testifies with us, to us, that it's going to be worth every sacrifice and every effort. The Bible does give us a little glimpse, in a sense. The Bible speaks of rewards in terms of receiving various crowns, the crown of righteousness, the victor's crown, or whatever. It speaks of the reward as being, we'll share in his inheritance. We're heirs of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. He'll give the nations an inheritance. We'll inherit a kingdom. We'll share in that kingdom. We'll share in his possessions. We'll share in his authority to rule the nations, it says. We'll share in his glory. We talked about this morning, how incredible is that? We will have reached the purpose for which we were created and saved. We will experience in its fullness what eternal life and everlasting life is. Jesus is coming and his reward is with him, and it's going to be beyond anything we could conceive or imagine. Well, how do we understand it? And tried to figure out how to kind of sum it up. So let me take you back to the book of Genesis, and God calls Abraham and tells him to leave his family and leave the land of his birth and leave everything he's known, sacrifice it all, and follow the Lord to a land that God said, I'll show you, I'll tell you when you get there. And if you obey me and follow me, I'll make you into a great nation. He and Sarah were childless, but he said, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Sounds like a reward. I'll give you the land, and your descendants will be like the stars in the heavens. He promises reward. But the years go by, and there's no children, no descendants. How are you going to make of me a great nation? Abraham's 99, Sarah's 90, long past childbearing age. Where's the reward? And some of you may be wondering the same thing. I've lived for God and I've served him and he promised, and I've not seen the fulfillment of the promise, and I haven't seen the reward, and I don't know where I'm going and all this. It's what the childless Abraham and Sarah were wondering when God speaks this word to Abraham in Genesis 15. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. God gave them the child he promised in their old age. He gave Abraham the land as his inheritance, and his descendants are like the stars in the heaven. But ultimately, God gave himself because he said, Abraham, I'm your great reward. And don't miss it this morning. He is our great reward. Yeah, he promised us eternal life. He promised us heaven, and heaven's going to be wonderful. Walls of jasper, streets of gold, sounds and colors and blessing beyond compare. There's no need for the sun, for the Son of God will be the light for us. Everything will be made new. Everything I've mentioned, it's beyond that, but the ultimate reward is himself, God, Jesus himself. He said he was going to prepare a place for us, and he would come and receive us so we could be with him. And if you hear me this morning, it's being with him. That's the reward. It's not streets of gold. It's not a mansion over the hilltop. It's being with Jesus, the one who loved us and died for us and saved us and gave us his Spirit and kept us by his grace and watched over us and walked with us through all the troubles of this life, the one who's coming to take us home to that place he prepared for us so we can be with him. And John said, and when we see him, we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. That means we're going to be like him, complete and whole. All the stuff that's messed us up and all the failures and all the messes and all of it's going to be changed, and we will be like him. So none of the rest of it, when it gets right down to it, none of the rest of it really matters, does it? all the stuff that we said, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have this. But the reality is we're going to be with Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Lanny Wolf years ago wrote a song. The first verse says, there's a land that I've heard of that's wondrous and fair. They say that its splendor is far beyond compare. In that place that's called heaven, my soul longs to be. For if Jesus is there, it will be heaven for me. The second verse, let me see if I'm remembering it all, because it's too good. It says, if the walls there are made of jasper, and if the streets there are made of gold, if the mansions were to crumble, and if folks still grow old, still I've seen everything that I'm longing to see. For if Jesus is there, He'll make it heaven for me. Heaven for me. That's the reality of it. That's what it's about. Is that if all of it, we get there and go, well, this is nothing like the song said. Right? I mean, nobody's going to do that, but I mean, seriously. That doesn't look like gold to me. I don't know. I don't understand. John had a vision and was trying to explain in limited kind of words what it was he was seeing. It may not look like anything. I don't know. It may look like Carbondale. I don't care. But if Jesus is there, that's what makes it heaven for us. Just what he said to Abraham. Abraham, I'm your reward. It's not about how big the tent is or how big the house is. It doesn't matter. None of that. All of it fades. All of it comes together in that one thing. It's about Jesus, and he's going to be our shield and our great reward. If you're discouraged and weary and tired and you feel overlooked and underappreciated at your job or in your church or whatever else, you've given and given and given, and it seems like there's nothing to show for it and nobody has noticed anything. You were expecting a different result or a quicker turnaround or reward here and now. Just let me tell you, you may not see it, at least not as you thought, in this lifetime. There'll be blessings here, but the reward is yet to come. And you may not understand what happens or why it all happened the way it did. And you may not understand what the Lord asks or expects of you in this life, but it's okay, because Jesus said, just endure to the end, because I'm coming and my reward is with me, and we'll see him as he is, and we'll be with him, and it'll make everything worth it. Then the accounts will be settled. Then justice will prevail. Then secrets will be revealed. Then we'll understand. Then we'll realize that it's all been worth it all. Every sacrifice and every loss and every trial and every mountain we had to climb or overcome, it was all worth it all, because Jesus is coming and his reward is with him, and we'll be with him. The psalmist said, when I awake in your likeness, my soul will be satisfied. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's pleasure. There's completeness forevermore. So friends, the cost may be great, but I'm telling you this morning, the reward outweighs every sacrifice, every tear that's shed, every price that's paid. So my prayer is that this morning the hope of his imminent return will fuel us again with a determination to keep living for him, keep sacrificing where necessary, keep looking for him and for his return until he comes. And don't allow your heart to become bitter. Don't become resentful. Don't allow your heart to be discouraged because sacrifices were made and seem to go unrewarded. We're not home yet. We're not home yet, but soon and very soon we're going to be in His presence, and soon and very soon we will see His glory. I thought as we were singing this morning, why don't you go ahead and stand, because we got to quit, but I thought as we were singing that chorus when I came in, show us Your glory, and I thought, Lord, if we only knew what we were asking for. Show us Your glory, because the reality is none of us could be standing here. If His glory filled this place, we'd all be on our faces. We couldn't stand in His presence. We couldn't bear it. The weight of His glory, the weight of His presence. I remember a Sunday morning years ago, and I'd come to the end of a sermon. And I mean, I brought it to the end, and I said, I don't know what you all are going to do. You remember that? I don't know what you're going to do. I have to pray. And I laid down on this platform. I was lying behind the pulpit, but I laid prostrate on this platform and began to pray. And the weight of His presence was so heavy upon me. Somebody came up and began to pray for me that day. The weight of His presence, I literally began to say, Lord, You'll have to lift Your hand from me, because it's going to crush me. That's the way it felt. That His presence, the weight of His presence was crushing. You know what? Maybe that's what we need, is the crushing weight of His presence, because it crushes out all the stuff that's unlike Him. But in that day, on that day, we're not going to worry about reward, because He's our great reward. And what we had a little taste of in worship, oh, everything that clouds our vision, we see through a glass dimly now, but then we'll see face to face. And when we see Him face to face, it all fits. You know, it all falls into place. All of us had said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord about that. Oh no, it all fit. It all makes sense. There's completeness. We'll understand, oh, that's what it was. That's why it had to be like that. Oh, I thought the pain was too much, but oh, now I see. Now it leads to this. Now it's part of the crown. Now it's part of the reward. Now it's part of the glory. Oh, it's all right. And we'll just fall at His feet and worship Him. That's the reward that's coming. Oh, listen, don't miss it. If you're here this morning, I know it's time for us to dismiss, but if you're here and you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, if you're here and you become discouraged at all, so heavy that you just feel like giving it all up, you're ready to just walk away from Him, oh, friend, don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't abandon your faith. Jesus is coming and His reward is with Him. It's worth it. I know, but the price, I don't care whatever the price, pay it. Pay it, because you'll pay a greater price if you abandon Jesus. Pay the price. Make the sacrifice. Do whatever you have to do. But don't walk away from Jesus this morning. He's everything. He's everything. And He's coming, and His reward is with Him. Would you just take a moment right where you are to just renew your commitment to Him, your faith to Him? If you need to come down here, we'll pray with you this morning. You can come forward. But just right now, begin to call on Him. Lord, we're turning to You this morning. We renew our commitment to You. We renew our faith this morning. Oh, God, I don't want anything to separate me from You, because I understand Your coming is imminent, and I understand Your coming and Your reward is with You, and I don't want to miss it, Lord, because the reward, it's not about plaques and trophies. It's not even about that crown, Lord. It's about You. You're our great reward. It's about being with You, Lord. Some of us, we may have worked for You, lived for You a long time, and we're just starting to feel like, Lord, it sure doesn't feel like I got much to show for You. It sure, I could have made more money if I'd done something else. I could have amounted to more if I'd have taken this path. If I'd have compromised on the job, I'd have been a CEO by now. But instead, Lord, I chose You and to be obedient, and now look what's happened. Oh, but Lord, You're coming, and Your reward is with You. And someday we'll awaken Your likeness, and we'll be whole and complete, and everything will be made new and right. Lord, that's our hope. That's what we trust in You, Lord. We trust You. though the cost be great, we're going to serve you. We're going to live for you, Lord. It will be worth it all one of these days when we stand in your presence. And so, Lord, we rejoice in it today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you just tell him in your own way you love him today? Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your promises to us. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that you put in our hearts. We won't quit. We won't give up. We're going to press on. We'll endure to the end because we know you're coming and we know your reward is with you, Lord. We're not serving you for a reward, but we're serving you so we can see you someday because we know you to be our great reward as well as our shield. Oh, we bless you and honor you today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know we got to get to Sunday school, but as you receive the blessing of the Lord today, go rejoicing. Go to Sunday school, but go rejoicing. Go looking to the heavens, knowing that the Lord is coming and his reward is with him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace until that day when we see him face to face. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for watching online.